Wow. So you don't have to listen to me give the message today because we have somebody else who's going to do it. And I'm going to read most of this. I know some of this, but I know I'm going to get it wrong if I just try to wing it. So this morning, Rob Pinkava is going to give the message. And Rob has, to quote an expression, I'm going to use it because Fred wrote it in the notes and said, you can just read this if you want. He said, he's got a lot under the hood, okay? I would have said it different. I would say, you know, an iceberg is what you see on the surface, but there's a whole lot more that's not on the surface. So we're gonna get a little taste of something that's in Rob's past. So he's been part of New Heritage here since 2010. But before that happened, he lived back in the 90s in Houston, where he taught Sunday school. He was an elder. He helped start a Christian school. To quote Rob, I have been in charge of every department in the church except the nursery, and that's okay. In 1997, Rob relocated to London, where he was working with the Exxon Corporation. He attended a local church there. The missions director asked Rob to be the temporary pastor for about 6 months. 18 months later, he was still doing that. And he went on, and then when he decided to quit Exxon, he decided to go to college just in case he might get asked again. God ever decided to do that. So in 2000, Rob moved to Baltimore, and for the next 8 years, he served the local church here. He taught high school, Bible college, was a VP of administration for the college, and he ran the housing department for the students, and he also received his BA in biblical studies. I'm tired of reading about this guy. You are one amazing guy. I probably knew 75% of that, and you just ratcheted up another notch. So, but the greatest significant thing that he did was he married Donna. Yay! Which was good for her, but good for us because now he's here with us. And so presently he teaches at Lamb of God School along with Donna. So he's still in the teaching business, and he's going to come and teach with us to teach us today. So let's welcome Rob as he comes to join with us this morning.
Ready? Okay, good. Yeah, I'm exhausted just listening to that biography. When Bob started reading, I was like, oh no, he's not going to read the whole thing, is he? Yeah, I've got a lot of years behind me, see? But it's a pleasure and honor to be asked to speak today. It all started back when I gave a talk in chapel about how much God loves us, just when we remember Randy was doing that series about God loving us. And Randy said, well, why don't you do that message at church? And I said, well, that's easy. I already have it all prepared. I've already done it once. And then Don and I were talking a couple of weeks ago and realized it's Palm Sunday. And I said, Randy, Fred, you don't want me to do that message on Palm Sunday, do you? They said, oh, you're right. So do another message. I'm like, wait a second. I don't know about that. So as soon as somebody says that to you, there's a bunch of questions that go through your mind, you know, like, why me, Lord? How did I get myself into this? What am I going to say? And as I was praying, the main question that came up to me, and it's been a great service so far, because the question was, why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? I love the one new man and everything I learned from Fred, so the question is, what is this Sunday different than any other Sunday? Okay? So a lot of it has come up, and I hope you remember the different things that have been said throughout the morning, because a lot of what I'm going to share ties in beautifully with it. But why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? Well, we've already heard the story. We know the story. Jesus rides into Jerusalem. They call it his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And everybody's shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There's palm branches and coats, and everybody's shouting and singing and dancing. Is that why we celebrate Palm Sunday? So I looked through a bunch of commentaries, and this is typically what the commentaries will say, Palm Sunday celebrates Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem and marks the start of Holy Week, the final days of his earthly ministry. Is that why we celebrate Palm Sunday? Is that what we're doing here? Is celebrating the first day of the week that ends with his death and burial? Next week is a big celebration. We all agree with that. But today, is that why we're here? So I was thinking about Holy Week, and, you know, I understand that this week is amazing. And if you just sort do a very quick scan of the scriptures, you see how busy Jesus and his disciples were this week. And this is something to celebrate. I mean, there's a lot of sermons in here. There's a lot of doctrine in here. There's a lot of prophecy, parables. It was a busy week. And it's a great week for us to spend in meditation and thinking about all these different things that Jesus did. Of course, it accumulated with his death, burial, and resurrection. So I get it that this is an amazing week in the history of the church, in the history of Jesus' ministry. This is day one. So is that why we're celebrating Palm Sunday? Are we celebrating the first day of a bunch of things that are going to happen? And I was sort of thinking back of other celebrations like birthdays and anniversaries and things. And like, take birthdays. I mean, I remember the birth of my two kids, but they weren't very great days, actually. When we celebrate birthdays, we're celebrating the year that has passed, right? And all the great things that have happened that year. But my son's birth was a cesarean that went wrong. And my daughter's birth was at 4 a.m. So all I remember is I went home and went to bed afterwards. So their birthdays are not celebrating that day as much as it is the year to come, right? So why are we celebrating Palm Sunday? At Lamb of God School, we have a great first day, and all the kids come to the parking lot, and we celebrate the year to come, and it's a great time, but I've never thought of it as, okay, let's celebrate last year's first day. Do you ever do that? No. So why celebrate the first day? This week's amazing. Let's meditate on it. Let's think about it. Good Friday's coming. Holy Saturday's coming. Easter's coming. I get that. But I don't know if that's why I want to celebrate today. I thought about the different religions or traditions that we're in now, and I love that. That's something new to me. The Catholics, don't they start celebrating this back at the beginning of Lent? Good Friday? Isn't that the beginning of preparing your hearts for Good Friday and for Easter Sunday? Well, I grew up as a Protestant. I'm not sure if we had any traditions much. You know, Christmas, yes. Good Friday, yes. Easter, yes. That's about it. So, you know, a couple weeks ago when there was Purim and St. Patrick's Day, I was pretty jealous, you know. Everybody's celebrating except for the Protestants. You know, I guess, you know, we celebrate March Madness and, you know, waiting for baseball to start. But there's not much there. I looked up in the books about the Jewish tradition, and they say preparations for Passover actually start right after Purim, right? Is that true? You start getting the house ready and baking and getting rid of the leaven and everything a month ago. So Palm Sunday, is that really the start of the preparations for Holy Week? I'm not so sure. What about the rest of the world? Okay, kids, grocery stores, teachers. Well, to be honest, you know, we've been preparing for this week for months, okay? Don and I are leaving at 3 o'clock on Wednesday. You know, that is the start of our celebration, okay? So I don't know if Palm Sunday actually fits into that, the details of that celebration. But here's Jesus walking into the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And you've got a lot of different characters there. You've got Jesus on the donkey, the people shouting and screaming, hallelujah, or not hallelujah, hosanna, and you have the disciples. And that was a very excellent video. But what were each of those people really thinking? What's going on in Palm Sunday? So I wanted to, I was thinking about it, meditating of it, on it, and I want to take you back, not Palm Sunday, but about 8 months earlier, something around the Feast of the Tabernacles. Okay? And if you want to open your scriptures, we're going to be, oh, I forgot this piece. The other thing I thought about was that we celebrate the prophetic. This is a prophecy, right? Okay? Praise God, Jesus told them to go get a donkey and ride into Jerusalem. Hosanna, hallelujah. This is great. This is amazing. Okay? Jesus fulfilled over 300 messianic prophecies, and Palm Sunday was one of them. Right? But do we celebrate all 300 messianic prophecies? No, this is one, and it's great, and it's amazing. And I can imagine the crowd there because, you know, Jesus is riding in triumphantly on a donkey, and I'm sure there's a middle schooler, I was thinking of Josh, thinking, he doesn't look like a king. Dad, what's going on? And Dad might say, be quiet, go ask your mother. But I don't think Bruce would say that. He'd probably say, remember what Zechariah said? Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That's what Bruce would say, the foal. Foal, yes. But I'm sure, you know, everybody's celebrating and saying, our king is coming. This is great. The Messiah is here. Yay. They're not thinking about what they're going to say 5 days from now, are they? Okay. So I don't know if this is what we celebrate for Palm Sunday for. So go back 8 months earlier, according to the commentaries, Feast of the Tabernacles the year before, the fall before. And Jesus is meeting with his disciples, and they're talking, they're sharing. And you might remember the story, Jesus looks at the disciples and says, so who do you think I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, Peter, flesh and blood have not told you this, but my Father who is in heaven has shared this with you. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. But like they said in the video, Jesus then said, don't tell anyone. Shh, it's not time yet. But what's Jesus referring to back then? Okay, let's go a little farther if you want to open your scriptures to Matthew 16. I'm going to refer to this chapter a couple times now. After Jesus said that, he then said, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. He's talking about Palm Sunday here. I must suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes. He's talking about Holy Week here. I must be killed on Good Friday and be raised up on the third day. This is 8 months before Palm Sunday. This is during the Feast of the Tabernacles, according to the commentaries. So Palm Sunday wasn't really the start. It was the beginning of Holy Week. But I don't know if we celebrate Palm Sunday as the beginning of Holy Week, or maybe it's the start of a plan that came from eternity past. Amen? Jesus, back 8 months earlier, knew this was coming. Right? He knew the plan of God. He's listening to God. He was there when God planned this all out. And he's saying, okay, we're going to Jerusalem. So I ask, have you ever done something that's been very difficult? Maybe something you didn't want to do? Something that maybe people told you not to do it? Maybe something that was embarrassing or dangerous in some way. Have you ever been in that situation? But you did it anyways. Why? Because it was the right thing to do? Because God told you to do it? Jesus did. And as I was praying about Palm Sunday and I was praying about why we celebrate Palm Sunday, I got in the mode of Jesus and his attitude coming forward into Palm Sunday and thinking about what all is going to happen this week. This wasn't these parables and cleansing the temple and being confronted by the Pharisees and Sadducees were not just random situations, were they? Jesus and God planned this week out. So if you look at this picture, and it's very interesting and a bit different from some stories I've heard or thoughts on Palm Sunday, but if you look at those different people, what are they thinking? The crowd is shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, our King is here. Is that what Jesus is thinking? I doubt it. And the disciples, I like that video, it's like, he wants a donkey? Triumphal entry. I don't get all this, did they? Now, wait a second. Jesus had just told them 8 months before, right, that this was going to happen. Did they get it? No. They're leading him through. They're saying, all right, triumphal entry. Here we are. We're his disciples. Hosanna, yay. Jesus is sitting on the donkey. Look at that face in that picture. I love that. His stare is straightforward. He's like, they just don't get it, do they? So here, back to Matthew 16. I've read this verse, but here's the next verse. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. Whoa. Have you ever said to God, you're wrong, God? I have. Usually doesn't end well for me. But Peter says, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. You shall never go to Jerusalem. You shall never be scourged by the Pharisees and the Romans. You shall never be put to death. You shall never rise again. But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's interests. Been there, done that. Been there. Peter, the disciples, do not know what's going on. Jesus' stare is right towards Friday and next Sunday. But right now, the disciples are just looking at the crowd, thinking about this triumphal entry. This is a great day. But that's not Jesus' heart, is it? Jesus is looking forward and being obedient to the plan of God. Here's some other verses that I love. Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Although he, Jesus, existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by riding on a donkey, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It's sort of hard for me, and I love this passage, and I've studied it a lot, about God himself, Jesus, learning obedience. He became obedient. He followed the plan of God. Because if I think of Jesus as God, walking into Jerusalem is no big deal, right? But if I think of Jesus as 100% man, walking into Jerusalem knowing that you're going to be crucified, that's a little tough. But he learned obedience to the plan of God. As a man. Hebrews 12. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. For the joy set before him, and I always think of that as you and me, the church. For the joy set before him, he went through with this plan. Amen. So here's my suggestion to you of why we celebrate Palm Sunday. to remind us that Jesus went to the cross willingly on the back of a donkey. He didn't come to Jerusalem on the back of a white horse as king. He wasn't there to, save the Jewish people from the Romans. He wasn't there to make Peter happy or the rest of the disciples happy. He was there to make God happy. He was there to execute the plan of God for all, like Bob said, for all of eternity. Amen? Well, back to our Matthew 16, Tabernacles 8 months earlier. Here's the next thing Jesus said. He said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Have you ever thought of all these verses together? They're all talking about Palm Sunday. They're all talking about Holy Week. Jesus is giving us an amazing lesson today about following the plan of God, being obedient, whether it's comfortable or not, whether it, makes everybody happy or not, but setting our eyes on the plan of God and the things of God and the work of God. So here we are again. Here's my picture. Crowds, happy, waving palm branches, the disciples, this is Jesus' hour, we're here, this is what we've been waiting for, and Jesus has his mind set on God. As I was praying, I just sort of put my face on top of that donkey. Can I do that? Can I walk that walk? Can I go through the city gate? Can I be humble and ride on a donkey instead of a white stallion? Can I do what Jesus did? Maybe today is for us to think about those things. Philippians, I read that scripture already, but the first part of it says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to the point of death on the cross." The Hebrews passage I read starts off, "Therefore since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down now at the right hand of the throne of God." I think Palm Sunday is a day for us not just to think about what's coming, but think about what Jesus is doing right now, that he's walking through the arch into Jerusalem, knowing exactly what's coming. And we need to fix our eyes on that Jesus, that humble Jesus, that Jesus who's obeying the plan of God, that Jesus who, no matter what, whether his friends say don't do it, whether the crowds are like totally wrong, he's going to do it anyways. That's the kind of Christian that I would like to be. I don't think I'm there yet, but I think Palm Sunday is a time for me to meditate on that and think about it. Here's one of my favorite verses. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions." Ugh, is there anything lacking in the cross? Is there anything lacking in Christ's afflictions? Well, no, because he did everything he was supposed to do. He was 100% obedient to God's plan. When he went to the cross, 100% of our sins are forgiven. 100% of our life is set free. But if that's the end of the story, why aren't we all in heaven? Amen? Yep. We're here for some reason. I heard a lot of people speak this morning that we change the attitude as we walk into a room, just like Jesus walked through the archway in Jerusalem. We have things that that God has for us to do. But Palm Sunday means obedience, doing what we hear God telling us to do, having that attitude in our hearts that Jesus had in his heart, having our eyes, it says, fixed on Jesus, just as Jesus had his eyes fixed on God's plan. Having that single motivation, I think, is wonderful, and I encourage it. Putting ourselves in that situation, whether we're walking into a schoolroom, whether we're walking into an office, whether we're walking into a grocery store, but having our eyes fixed on God's plan for our life. I'm not preaching a works program, please don't misunderstand, but having that attitude that Jesus had on Palm Sunday morning, do we have it each and every day of our life, walking through the doors we walk through? So, what is God asking us to do this week, this year? How can we be more like Jesus? Losing our life, not considering it a thing to be grasped, having the same attitude as Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus. I love that song, Rejoicing in Our Temporary Sufferings and Trials. That was a great song. Temporary sufferings and trials. Amen. Or at the very least, don't be a stumbling block for other people. That's always one of my prayers. Don't let me be like Peter and say something stupid. I don't know. He hasn't worked that out of me yet. That is why I think that we celebrate Palm Sunday, to remember the obedience of Christ. And all this week, he did exactly every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Before we even get to Friday, Jesus did everything God told him to do. He was 100% obedient. And I just want to keep that in my mind this whole week. And if I can go through this week, my prayer for all of us is maybe we walk in a door and somebody, maybe not verbally, but somebody in their heart might say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Could somebody say that about you? Could somebody say, oh my gosh, he turned the atmosphere around. Oh wow, this person is Jesus to me. Being obedient is actually pretty easy if we just listen and walk the walk that Jesus has given us to do. So that's my prayer. I would like the worship team to come up and sing that song about setting our eyes on Jesus one more time, at least the chorus. But let's bow our heads and just meditate for a second on being obedient to the Word of God, the life of Jesus, and keeping our eyes fixed on whatever it is he would have us to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you that Jesus was obedient to the plan. As Bob said, if he had just stayed home today, we'd still be living in our sins, waiting for a Messiah. But now we live in freedom, we live in grace, we live in love, and we live in a purpose, Lord, to share those things with other people, to give grace, to give love, to give joy. Thank you for being humble and coming to earth, living amongst your creation, and yet riding on a donkey to your death. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.